Down Like Thunder, written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Chapter 1. Trust. Waiting was the worst part. Everybody said so. He sat awkwardly in a corner of the submarine's control room, his thick rubber diving suit making his whole body pour with sweat. Around him, the men on watch stood or sat at their diving stations, barely moving, so tense was their concentration in the oily warmth. In the muted glow of reddish-orange lights, their faces were like parts of an intricate tapestry. Only the clicking, purring instruments and dials were alive. He eased his limbs slightly and saw a young stoker by the lowered periscopes glance at him, but only briefly, probably wondering why he was risking his life in such dangerous work, more likely seeing the diving suit as a very real liability, a threat to his own survival and that of his messmates. The submarine's skipper leaned against the plot table, his eyes ever watchful. He too would be thinking of the risks to his boat and his men. The submarine was in shallow water, a good place to conceal the target, not so good for a quick dive. There would be no chance to escape if they were suddenly pinned down by aircraft or a patrol vessel. He plucked at the tough, narrow rubber cuffs of the suit. In the water it was another thing, supple, protective, and familiar after all the hours of training and the wild elation of actual operations against the enemy. Even pushing your head into the tight-fitting hood was painful, and the man who was helping was usually concerned more with haste than comfort. He glanced at the control room clock. Dawn was still an hour away. He tried to picture the coastline ahead of the boat's slow-moving bows. Sicily. He had studied the plans and the maps, the charts and the intelligence folios, until he felt as if he had already been there. He turned his head and saw the bridge lookouts lounging by the conning tower ladder. They all wore dark glasses to prepare their eyes for total darkness if necessary, and in the orange glow they looked like an assembly of blind men. The boat's first lieutenant was fiddling with a slide rule. One of his duties was to maintain the trim under every condition, pumping water from aft to forward when torpedoes were fired, or in difficult stretches of sea where perhaps the density varied violently when fresh water surged into salt from a nearby estuary. In moments of stress, it was not unknown for the trim to be lost and a submarine's bows to break surface in the middle of an attack. The boat's commander was probably about his own age, 26, but he looked 10 years older. There were dark stains on the long submariner's jersey, where he habitually wiped his hands, perhaps to offset his private anxieties. At least in his work he could retain a sense of independence from the greater backdrop of war. Submarines made you like that. The young commander saw his passenger's brief smile and walked across the control room. They had not had much time to chat or become acquainted on this secret mission. He put his hand on the shoulder of the rubber suit and said, "Sorry it's such a drag, Jamie, but I'll have you away before full daylight." "Thanks. I never doubted it." Something took the commander's attention, and he strode back to the compass repeater. The diving suit squeaked, and another trickle of sweat ran down his spine like a leak. One more operation, then. Would it really make any difference in the end? 4 years of war, retreats and disasters on land, and at sea the mounting losses, in an intensified and ruthless U-boat campaign, had almost brought the country down. Almost. Somebody dropped a mug on the deck, and several men swung round, their eyes angry, nervous. Almost. It made you cynical, frightened to hope too much. He tried to assemble his thoughts in order. One thought predominated. Last month, the unbeatable German Africa Corps had been driven out of North Africa, when, but for the Eighth Army's last stand at a place named El Alamein, they would have smashed on to Cairo, Suez, and the final goal, India, Hitler's dream. Nobody said anything definite, of course, but everyone believed that the next step would be to go on the offensive, to force landings on the continent and tip the scales as the fighter pilots had done in the Battle of Britain.